Hello, everyone. I'm Abdullah Khalifa, your host for another exciting episode of Bahrain Banter, where recently I was honored to not only attend, but be asked to speak at the Norman E. Borlaug International Dialogue and World Food Prize in America's heartland state of Iowa. This important event brought together people from more than 65 countries to address cutting-edge issues related to global food security and nutrition. These global leaders convened to focus on transformative ways to achieve a sustainable, equitable, and nourishing food system. It was both humbling and inspiring to see so many great minds giving such time and energy to helping not only Americans, but the whole of mankind. There were leaders of government and industry, as well as great thinkers from respected academia and credible NGOs that have committed much of their lives to helping all of us. Today, I am joined by one of those very leaders, Mrs. Heidi Kuhn, who spent more than 25 years restoring agriculture in former war zones. In fact, this past week, she was named the 2023 World Food Prize laureate for her farmer-focused efforts to revitalize farmland, improve food security, and increase resilience after devastating conflicts. I am really excited to introduce her today and have her share with us some of what makes her work so inspiring and so remarkable. Mrs. Kuhn, I am truly delighted to have you join our podcast today, and my sincere congratulations on your well-deserved 2023 World Food Prize. It is an extreme honor to have witnessed your remarkable achievement. But before we dive into the details and the prize and its significance to all of us, I'd like to invite you to share a couple of words about the journey and what has led you to this exact moment.
Well, salam alaikum, and thank you so much, first of all, for this great honor of being on your distinguished podcast. Roots of Peace began with a very simple concept of turning mines to vines, replacing the scourge of landmines with bountiful vineyards and orchards worldwide. I am a fifth generation, a descendant of a California pioneer family. My family came to California in 1850s and purchased 2,500 acres of land across the Golden Gate Bridge. It was a ranch. It was a farming ranch. And our family, as San Francisco continued to grow after the gold rush, you know, we helped feed the growing population with, the milk from the cows, the eggs, milk, and butter that build an economy. And what was taught to me throughout generations is the respect for the land and respect for the people. And when I learned that there were an estimated 60 million landmines silently poised in 60 countries, I was aghast. It took the footsteps of Princess Diana, who really catapulted this issue to the forefront of the international agenda, walking through a minefield in the last year of her life, first in January 1997 in Angola, and several months later in August in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And as a mother of four children, my oldest sons were relatively her son's age, Wills and Harry. And I thought, what is this mother doing walking through a minefield? What is she doing risking her life? It really deeply touched me. And, you know, I am a cancer survivor. Cancer is a landmine, I believe. Nobody knows when they're going to step on it. And landmines are a cancer to the earth. And it was so very clear to me that the removal of the seeds of terror that permeate the skin of Mother Earth was a necessary requirement to planting seeds of life and seeds of love that we were given by the Creator to feed us. Landmines hold the land hostage for future generations to cultivate peace through agriculture. So with a very simple toast in the living room of our Kuhn family home, may the world go from mines to vines. It really was, looking back on it, a vision not only of turning, killing fields into vineyards, swords into plowshares, but restoring the land that is riddled with these seeds of terror long after the guns of war have silenced. The footstep of a child or the boot of a farmer is at risk. And when I was a young mother, again, 26 years ago when I started Roots of Peace, driving my children to soccer practice in a place called Marin County across from the Golden Gate Bridge, I just couldn't imagine that there were children in the world who would kick a soccer ball out of bounds and lose a life or a limb to, again, an intentional seed of terror sown into the skin of the one Mother Earth that we share. And so began the journey. Beyond a toast that could have remained in the living room of my home, I took this out to the greater community in my San Francisco Bay Area, and I approached the California Napa Valley Vintners, very famous, legendary vintners who, you know, have helped as pioneers to create what is called the Napa Valley. Mike Gergich, Robert Mondavi, Diane Disney Miller, very generous people. And again, it's so important to speak with you, Ambassador, about this, because the grapevine represents to me the seeds we have in common, as opposed to those which separate us. And of course, in Napa Valley, a fine bottle of wine is celebrated. But with respect to the Muslim culture, the fresh grapes and raisins and the juicy nectar of grape juice is celebrated with due respect to the Muslim culture. So again, the grapevine is such a symbol of turning mines to vines, again, minefields into vineyards and orchards. And I see this as a very grounded solution to peace on earth, because there is no peace on earth with 60 million landmines silently poised in the one earth that we have been given to shepherd.
Mrs. Kuhn, your story is truly inspiring. And I recall a quote where you mentioned about the importance of using shovels instead of guns to bring about change. It's evident that embracing both agriculture and religious acceptance is crucial for promoting peace. And as you very well know, the Kingdom of Bahrain has celebrated religious diversity for many years. And His Majesty King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa has been an advocate for peace and peaceful coexistence and tolerance within our region, and also set an example for the entire world. I guess my question here is how you conceived the idea of expanding your work and passion into different regions, and how this endeavor has evolved to promote peace and prosperity among the people involved.
Well, I would like to begin by saluting the vision of the King of Bahrain, because this is where true peace begins, by religious interfaith understanding and respect. I believe very deeply that we are all daughters and sons of Abraham. And the sooner we remember to get back to the garden, the sooner we will begin to heal the wounds of war that in real time are tragic on so many continents around the world. And I believe very deeply by turning minds to vines, we are embodying the Old Testament, which is respected by Christians, Jews, and Muslims alike. And the late Secretary General Kofi Annan and Mayor Bloomberg of New York, when I presented this to him shortly after the tragic events of September 11th in New York City, they designated the Isaiah Wall located across the street from UN headquarters on First Avenue in the Ralph Bunche Park. And the words on that wall etched in stone, Isaiah 2, chapter 4 and 5, may they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, so that nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And I think those are words etched in stone to live by today, that we may cast our eyes across the bureaucracy, certainly body of the United Nations that is trying, I'm sure, their earthly best to solve these problems. But I think we need to divert our eyes across the street and look at this Isaiah prophecy and turn that prophecy into reality right now. The guns of war are not going to help the innocent farmers and families who are in the midst right now of a harvest. This is harvest season all over the earth. And, you know, nature doesn't wait for peace treaties to be signed. We should all be leading with shovels and not swords, turning again guns into shovels and taking aim at the one earth that we share. And by planting a seed of life, you know, with sunlight, water, and a human hand, that seed will grow into a tree and feed future generations. And not only will that tree planted on a former minefield bloom, providing nutritious fruits for the minds and bodies of children, but each tree planted will restore the lungs of Mother Earth. And with the tragic climate crisis that we see, cultivating a smart agriculture, every tree planted restores the lungs of the one Mother Earth that we share. This is science, and this is a business model for peace. So Roots of Peace was very proud to announce our DMine, Replant, Rebuild initiative at the World Food Prize, focusing, of course, right now on Ukraine, where the world has witnessed 30% of a country that was once dubbed the breadbasket of Europe is now contaminated by landmines. And this is land that potentially feeds North Africa. You know, by planting these seeds of hatred and leaving them in the ground long after the guns of war have silenced is a problem for humanity. And, you know, again, I am so humbled and honored to receive the World Food Prize. I believe very deeply that as women, as mothers, we bear the seeds of life, and it is our moral responsibility to remove the seeds of hatred in the soil and soul of the one Mother Earth we share, and call upon the world right now to fall upon their knees and to dig deeper for peace. And peace through agriculture is my battle cry.
What a fascinating story this is. I mean, if we were to look at the organizations and the stakeholders that were involved in the process that led to the success of Roots of Peace, I'd love for you to shed some light on who those stakeholders were, what the process looks like, and at the end of the day, how can this entire process lead to where you are today and reaching a wider audience throughout the world?
Thank you for asking that question. These are very pragmatic examples. I can take you on a tour here of the world and the various continents where Roots of Peace has worked. Beginning in Croatia, I walked my first minefield in January 2000. And again, everything that I had read about landmines, the devastation they caused to farmers and families, could never be understood in a book. To walk the land and have the fear that each footstep would potentially be a lethal one was really inspired me even furthermore to come back to a beautiful place called California and advocate on behalf of those who have no voice. At the time in January 2000, the first month of the new millennium, I took conscious choice to walk a minefield. My dear husband, Gary, took care of our four children because he knew how passionately I believed in this uncharted journey. At that time in Croatia, following the Balkan War, there were an estimated 1.2 million landmines. I returned back to the Napa Valley and I brought a very famous Napa Valley vintner born in Croatia named Mienko Gergic. He's the owner of GergicHills.com to learn more about him. But he came back with me 5 months later, and I took my daughter, who was 13. I felt as a rite of passage as a young girl growing up in California, to whom much has been given, much is required. And it opened her eyes to the sense of privilege that she had as a young teenager growing up in California, if not America. And together we set off on a journey. We raised the funds through private sector, through matching grants with foundations, with the Skoll Foundation. Jeff Skoll, the co-founder of eBay, presented us with $1 million in 2006. And we grew that to over $200 million, again, with public-private partnerships, which are essential in order to scale this model. In Croatia, I can say today that I look back and it is now one of the top tourist destinations in the world. So I believe very deeply that peace is possible from the ground up. These landmines have been removed. And tourists are coming to the beautiful beaches where I visited over 20 years ago that were barren. And the faces of people in post-conflict was a stark reality. After September 11th, we turned our eyes of turning minds to vines to Afghanistan. And again, with public-private partnership, we were able to raise the funds through the private sector. Diane Disney Miller, incredible woman, she owned Silverado Vineyards, but she would volunteer in the basement of my home. You know, Ambassador, I've had very humble beginnings. This began in a mother's home, in a mother's heart. And I toiled for many years in the basement. And this lovely woman kept volunteering. One day she took me to lunch and she wrote a check for six figures. Now, working in the basement of your home, that's extraordinary. For $200,000, this lovely woman looked at me and said, "You remind me of my father. He was passionate about making a world of happiness for children." And I looked at the check and I looked up at Mrs. Miller and I said, "Mrs. Miller, who was your father?" She very humbly said, "My father was Walt Disney. He believed that he could bring joy to children around the world." So with that money, I partnered with the United Nations Mine Action Group, UNMAS, and we again then partnered with the Halo Trust. And north of Kabul in the Somali Plains, where 70 varietals of grapes had flourished for thousands of years, we again, the deminers that we trained, they were all Afghans, delicately removed over 100,000 landmines, UXOs, and cluster munitions. Then my husband, Gary, strong businessman, 10 years IBM, Silicon Valley, helped the early days of Adobe Systems. He did Acrobat with the owners. He brought his business acumen to support this vision as, again, a father and mother from California. I so much owe the respect to my husband for having done well and coming to me and saying, "How do we do good now?" And really, I credit him for helping take this from the shoebox of finance to really the international domain. With the training of the farmers in the Somali Plains, we taught them to lift the grapes off of the mounds that they, they lost the knowledge, transfer of knowledge from grandfather to son. And they grew the grapes on mounds, dragging them to market in midday in the hot sun and on a burlap sack and hoping to get a meager profit. Roots of Peace came in with a new practice of the trellis grapevines, prune the vine, double the yield, harvest in the early morning. And through funding from the U.S. Department of State, as well as USAID, we built cold storage refrigeration. And then we taught the farmers to pack in corrugated boxes and the sorting of the fruits, the apples, and the branding of Afghan sweet grapes. And furthermore, we introduced them to new market. The traders, of course, were very afraid to fly to Kabul to negotiate deals. But we flew the traders to Gulf Food, the largest food exhibition in the world. And the traders were able to negotiate contracts with the buyers, major supermarkets such as Big Bazaar and Reliance in India. And they were so joyful to have this beautiful fruits from Afghanistan on the supermarket shelves in Mumbai, in Dubai, and Delhi. And it was just such a joy for me to see. We helped through the funding from USAID CHAMP program, that was Commercial Horticultural Agricultural Marketing Program, to increase agricultural exports in Afghanistan from $250 million in 2014 to over $1.4 billion by 2020. And that money goes back to the farmer. Again, Roots of Peace carries no flag. We serve the farmer on the ground. And I can proudly say that Roots of Peace has worked in Afghanistan consecutively since 2002. We were down just one day during the regime change. And again, it was a defining moment for me as a Californian, as this just gotten too dangerous. Should I give up? But then I thought of the farmers on the ground and the children who deserve to be fed. And we continue to cultivate that harvest of hope in 2021, 2022. And in 2023, again, very strict laws were enacted, forbidding actually women from working for international nonprofits. But as was told to me, they do not look at me as a woman. They look at me as a mother who's feeding their children. And very proudly, since February 2023, Roots of Peace has trained over 5,000 women to grow kitchen gardens within their homes, again, with respect to any government we work in, and providing little baby chicks, you know, these little yellow chicks. Can you imagine the joy of the children seeing them delivered to the homes? The chicks grow up to chickens. The chickens lay eggs. That's protein for the children. The fathers bring the eggs to market. They sell them. They come back to the home with money and respect for the women who are taking these baby chicks and children and growing them. So it's not a cycle of violence. It's a cycle of love and hope. And that's what we need to replicate and amplify. Roots of Peace has pioneered a business model for peace and has planted 7 million fruit trees in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a country that is 80% dependent upon agriculture for jobs, yet conversely is one of the most heavily mined countries in the world. And as we turn mines to vines, again, minefields into thriving vineyards, never to be fermented, of course, with deepest respect to the Muslim culture, those fresh grapes and raisins are a source of nutrition and commerce. This is the business of peace. This is the economics of peace. And I look forward to partnering with the great country of Bahrain and the various countries in the Middle East, because this award of the World Food Prize is not meant to be put on a shelf right now. This is the most important time to scale peace, peace through agriculture, leading again with the shovel, not the sword. And this is my very humble battle cry for peace on Earth in the one beautiful planet that we share.
Mrs. Kuhn, it's been a real privilege to hear about your inspiring journey from nurturing seeds in the earth to seeing your initiatives bear fruit on a global scale and supermarket shelves. And your comprehensive strategy not only fosters peace, but it also opens doors for people globally. Now, with every venture, especially projects of this scale and magnitude, there are always going to be obstacles that will hinder progress. So my question is, what would be the most significant hurdles or challenges that you've encountered along this path? And what has kept you motivated throughout this whole time, throughout this whole process?
Mm-hmm. Well, there have been tremendous challenges that Roots of Peace has faced and overcome. Not only have I survived cancer, but I've survived COVID and cyber attacks. And, you know, daunting challenges, I think most people would, you know, just give up. But this is not a time to give up, because every time I visit these war-torn countries and see the faces of these precious children and hear the positive stories, you know, it was heartbreaking for me last month to speak with our staff in Herat, Afghanistan. There was a terrible earthquake. And it devastated not only the land and fellow farmers who died, but we as Roots of Peace were in the midst of the harvest of the saffron. And one of the mothers spoke to me on a Zoom call and was thanking me. I was aghast. I'm like, what are you possibly thanking me for in the midst of your tragedy and sorrow? And she said very humbly, Mrs. Kuhn, several months ago, my husband came to me. We have five children. We could not afford to eat. He asked if we could sell our youngest daughter, who was age 10. Somehow, I connected with Roots of Peace. They gave me a job. And within my home, I was able to take the cucumbers and make them into pickles and bring the women in my community to make jars and jars of pickles that were sold by my husband in the market. She said, Mrs. Kuhn, thank you so much. I did not have to sell my 10-year-old daughter because of Roots of Peace.
Time and again, your stories have been profoundly moving. I am deeply inspired by these narratives, and your bravery is incredibly motivating. The term walking through a minefield is often used metaphorically in diplomacy, yet here you are literally walking through minefields to inspire people, to foster peace, to create employment, and forge new opportunities. I mean, the global recognition of your humanitarian efforts and setting standards for others is truly well deserved. It's been an honor to have you as a guest on this podcast, and I eagerly anticipate further discussions on how we can amplify your work, which not only galvanizes our agricultural community, but it also ignites the spirit of our youth.
And inshallah, inshallah. Thank you so much. A great honor, and I one day hope to visit your beautiful country and wage peace with the shovel and not the sword.
Mrs. Kuhn, I thank you, wish God's blessing upon you, and hope for continued success in your future endeavors.